Lakshmi from Hyderabad. She has been ordained devotee of Bhagavan Ramana since about the year 2002 onwards. I have also known her in the past 4 or 5 years. Whenever she comes, very often, she is a household lady with 2 kids and a husband who is a chartered accountant. But she just rushes almost every month once, and for a minimum of 4 to 5 days at a time, to be at Ramanashramam and to do her sadhana, mainly in the meditation hall. The story as to how she happened to come to Bhagavan Ramana for the first time, and how Bhagavan Ramana caught her just like a tiger catching the head of a man and never leaving it. It's something worth hearing, and you could hear it from her own mouth. Mrs. Lakshmiji, please.
Thank you, Swamiji, for the nice introduction. Whatever I speak, even if it benefits one person to become another prayer of Bhagavan, I'll be too happy. I was born and brought up in a family with Arya Samaj background, where there was no idol worship. So I'd never been to a temple, or I never knew what it is to do worship to the God by going to a temple. 23 years when I got married, I never knew that I had to go to a temple, and Bhagavan has been so nice to me that he never created such occasion where I had to ask God for something. That had been the past life of mine. In 1988 I was blessed with Pranav, my elder son, and in 1990 with Pratik, my younger son. My younger son Pratik was the reason for what I came to Bhagavan. When Pratik was 7, he started getting lot of headaches. And then he was not able to eat anything. Even milk, if I give him, he used to vomit. So I've been going to so many doctors. Doctor said there's nothing wrong with him. It's just that he's, after a few days, he'll get used to eating like that. So I went to Tirupati, like some people told, go here, go there. I went rushing with my child everywhere. Then in 2002, July 31st, which was my birthday, we had a big party, and then Pratik was suffering with severe headaches. So that night he had 104 temperature. I gave him a medicine and put him to sleep. On August 1st, when I got up, I saw a small piece of paper and a pen in his hand. And he was fast asleep. There was no fever. I removed that paper and saw what it was. In that he wrote a poem called Who Am I? I would be happy to read that poem right now.
How old was your son at this time?
He was 12. He had written, Who am I? Am I my? Tell me why. It's on the earth. I'm on the earth, below the sky. What happens when me die? Will I be someone else or my today? I am a very curious guy to know who am I. At present I am a spy to know my I. This when I read, it didn't make any sense to me. And he also wrote that I, my, me. It is so mysterious to me. I want to know what is the meaning of all these words. They all look alike, mean alike, but there is something beyond. There is a meaning beyond all these things. This was what his curiosity was. I was thinking, what is this? Why is he so confused? What is there to be confused in these words? Because I never knew that there was something called Bhagavan's philosophy, anything at this moment. So then in August, I happened to go to Chennai to see one of my cousins. The cousin of mine told me, I showed him this poem and said, what is this? He's getting temperatures, he's getting headaches. And all the time he's asking me, Amma, who am I? Who am I? What is this? I don't know. Then he said, you are very fortunate to have such a child who's asking such a beautiful question at this young age. What he's asking, who am I, is Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi's philosophy. This is what Bhagavan's teaching is. His main teaching was, who am I? So So that's the first time I ever heard Bhagavan's name. Until then I never heard his name, nor I saw his picture, nor I never knew about a place called Tiruvannamalai. So then he told me, I have a friend who is an ardent devotee of Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. He is Mr. Kodandaram. Why don't you go to him? Why don't you take Pratik over there where he might find some answers? So that is how my journey to Bhagavan started. I came down to Tiruvannamalai in search of my Guruji Kodandaramji. So when I met him, the first thing I introduced Pratik to Guruji. He said, Uncle, I like you very much. Do you like me? He said, yes, I like you. You're a sweet boy. Then he said, I want to know who am I. Then Guruji was shocked. It was a straight question. He just said, who am I? I want to know at such a young age. And then Guruji told, why don't you relax for some time? And he took us around the hill because Bhagavan recommended everybody to go around the hill. He took us by walk early in the morning at 5 o'clock. He came and he took both of us. And we stayed because it was Dasara holidays for Pratik. So we came for 1 week and we stayed in Tiruvannamalai. And Guruji took us every day around the hill, and on top of the hill he made us sit and he was explaining many things about how Vasishta was explaining to Rama about this subject. In a very simple language, because Pratik was too small, he could not understand high philosophy. So he had to come down to Pratik's level and explain to him in simple words. See, after the whole trip was over, the day I was leaving, that day he told me, how do you feel? I said, nothing. I don't feel anything. It's only I'm worried that my child is confused like that. He said, your child is not confused. You are confused. And he also told me, assured me that this trip was not only for my child, but for me also. He said, you are also going to be benefited. If you are not going to benefit, then Bhagavan wouldn't have brought you here. He said, just sit in the old hall, look at his eyes and pray to him and ask him, what is the purpose? Why did you bring me here? You will get all the answers. That day, just before I left, I sat for a very long time, almost 3-4 hours in the old hall. And I was going on asking, Bhagavan, I don't know anything, please help me. That was when I felt very light and a kind of connection took place between me and Bhagavan. Then Guruji always told, see, I am only a ko-sadhaka. Don't tell I am a guru or something like that. Because I have a better understanding, I can make you understand a few things, but I cannot show you what this is. I cannot show what you are looking for. It's only Bhagavan who can show you all this. So just because I am a guru or something, don't give me such big titles. Look up to Bhagavan. And definitely that day, when I was just sitting silently and just praying to Bhagavan, just not knowing what it was. I don't know why I'm sitting. Then a kind of sudden connectivity took place between both of us. The connection was like, I had tremendous love for him. Just like that, love arose for him, me in my heart for Bhagavan. And it was so strong that he became everything for me. Even when I went back, the thought of Bhagavan never left me from that moment. Somewhere off the corner of my heart, of the mind, or whatever you say, he was there for me. That's it. Always I felt him. In every minute I felt him. And that was the time when I came second time and my son wrote another poem which was published in the 125 Years of Grace of Bhagavan. So I would like to read that poem also. This poem really changed me. This is the poem I got answers for many questions. At least it was an understanding that what is life, what is the purpose of life and things like that. I would like to read this poem also.
I think both these poems were reproduced in the mountain path.
No, only this, My Lifetime Ambition.
Oh.
And another one also. It goes like this, My Lifetime Ambition. Once again, a prisoner's birth, down in the jail on the planet Earth. I wonder the number of my new vehicle. It's the account of my life cycle. My ambition of life is to never again fail and to break free through this planet jail. I want to step my foot off this false world. I set up my goal to destroy my life cycle and die. And to the planet of prisoners, I want to say goodbye. This was what made me put a lot of questions to my Guruji. What is this planet? What is my son telling that he wants to step his foot off the false world? Why is he calling this false world? And so many questions arose, and then I started looking to Bhagavan. And I asked him, why is my mind asking me to come here? Why am I feeling heavy when I go away from here? I don't have answers for these questions. So Guruji told me, Amma, just like milk is there everywhere in the cow, but it can be extracted only through the udder. Same, God is there everywhere, but His presence is felt better in holy places, sacred places, and in pure souls. So that is why your mind is asking you to come here. It is dragging you. Then I felt that sacred place is at the feet of Arunachala and at the home of my Bhagavan. And always I felt that this is my home. This is my home. I've been away. For some reason I've been away like that. And then I started coming and I started getting more clarity. Not clarity. My love is becoming more stronger to Bhagavan. It was becoming more stronger. And then Guruji said, I asked Guruji, what do I do? He just said, it seems once Devaraj Mudaliar asked this question and Bhagavan said, hold on to me like a monkey baby. Like wherever, see when the monkey is jumping one tree, it's the duty of the baby to hold on to the mother. It seems this is the answer Bhagavan gave. So Guruji told me, hold on to him like a monkey baby. He'll take the rest. He'll take care of you like a cat. Like how it protects the baby. So I said, okay. He just said, put in your self effort and hold on to him. From that day, it is 6 years since I've been here. From 2002, September 29th, I came here first. From that day till today, I've never left Bhagavan. For me, Bhagavan is not a person. Bhagavan is not a form. Bhagavan is nothing. He's just love. He's just a feeling from within. So from that day, I had so many problems. I had financial problem, which was never felt before. I had physical problem, I had 4 major surgeries in 3 years. I didn't lose my interest, nor I didn't lose my confidence. As the problems for me increased, as they increased, my love for Bhagavan also increased. My trust, my faith, my confidence, my devotion, everything increased in leaps and bounds. I was holding on to him and I could pass on through everything very comfortably. The more I held on to him, the more peaceful my journey became. Though it was a lot of ups and downs. And the best part that happened to me, like my mind started becoming very calm. A part of me was holding on to Bhagavan and a part of my mind was becoming lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. Like Guruji said, whenever I had any emotional problems, anything like emotion, like greed, like jealousy, like hatred, these are all emotions. And there are so many senses that keep working and pulling you towards the world. Yes. So whenever these sort of things came, Guruji always told, inquire. What did Bhagavan tell? Inquire. Inquire, who am I? For whom are these problems coming? For whom is this attraction coming? Who is getting attracted? If it is not you, then who am I? It's not your body, it's not your... Then who am I? Just ask Bhagavan, why am I getting angry? Who is it that is getting angry? Who is it that is getting greedy? Who is it that is having hatred? So, especially I had hatred for 2 people, which was because that is what I got. After 1.5 years of inquiry, that hatred is totally lost. I don't have hatred. I don't have hatred for that person at all. It is gone totally. Because I kept on asking, Bhagavan, help me. Bhagavan, help me, I'm getting greedy. Bhagavan, help me, I'm going there. My mind wants, like now, even pleasures. I don't seek much of pleasures. I am there in all those, in the midst of let it be a movie, let it be anything. I am there. My children want me to go, I go. But there is not great pleasure coming out of that. I'm not enjoying it as much as I'm enjoying Bhagavan inside. Yes. They are all very petty when the happiness I'm getting of thinking of Bhagavan is so high. And I can't explain these things. It's not something that I can explain. It's something that I can experience.
Yes.
And that experience is Bhagavan for me.
So very interesting.
By the way, may I know what happened to the Lord?
Yes. Well, this is the second in the series of Love is the Path to the Lord. And Lakshmi from Hyderabad is going to now relate, hopefully. once she came to Bhagavan, or Bhagavan came to her, and then the drama really began. So she'll relate how Bhagavan plays with us, entices us, and never leaves us.
He doesn't use one method. Somewhere he threatens you, somewhere he entices you, somewhere he cajoles you, somewhere he forces you.
But you even told me in which Veda and which Upanishad, I don't remember, but you said that once you fall into the water, it doesn't matter if you jumped in, fell in, or pushed in, you're wet. That's the important thing.
Don't know, suddenly I don't.
How old he was when he did this?
He was 12.
She had already
first
told.
One was when he was 17.
Not or seven.
Both when he was
2002. One day, as usual, whenever
you
I have to leave.
Copy where
yeah.
Take it?
Yeah, you can take this copy. See, I always used to feel very heavy to leave this place. I used to cry a lot. Then one day when I just got up, a thought came to me. It was like a thought, I think so. I don't know whether it's a dream or what it is. That I'll meet a Swami, a monk from Himalayas. Like that I had a feeling. And then as usual after lunch, I was doing my pradakshina around Bhagavan Samadhi. To say goodbye, I'll be coming again. Bring me back soon. Like that I keep praying and going around Mother Shrine and Bhagavan Shrine. Then Swamiji was sitting in the window over there. So once I completed my three rounds, I just sat, I didn't touch him, nothing, I was just sitting near his feet. He opened his eyes and he just said one line to me. He said, "Blessed are the people who go with a heavy heart from Arunachala." So I cried a lot. I said, "Yes, Swamiji, that is why I am crying. I am not able to leave this place and go." Then he said, "Why do you think you are leaving this place? Why don't you think that you are taking Arunachala from here with you? Then it will make you lighter, you won't feel so much." I said, "I don't feel like that. I only feel I am leaving it." He said, "Make it a practice. And then you'll start feeling Arunachala is there with you wherever you are." So that is how I came to Swamiji. And from that time, whenever Swamiji is here and if I happen to be here at that time, I come and see him every day once. But I don't have any questions or all that I don't have.
But could you relate some of the instances of how Bhagavan moved in your life, assured you that he's there?
The first incident was when I came with Pratik for the Dasara holidays and I went back. That was in September 29th I came. October 7th or something I went back to Hyderabad. When I went back to Hyderabad, it was like, I don't know what to call it. It's like I can't think of Bhagavan. Except Bhagavan, there's nothing else. Even if I try to cook, if I try to do any of my duties, any of these things, no? I used to just, Bhagavan used to come and he used to just stand, or I don't know what to call it. It's only this feeling that used to drag me inside. It never allowed me to go. And then first reaction was nobody liked it. First of all, they told me you can't go with a small boy to some ashrams. It's not permitted. You are young and your boy is young, you just go and don't go like that. My husband said, "No, if it is going to benefit our son, rid of his headaches, you can go. I'll join." But he couldn't join. He tried three times to come, but he couldn't join us in that 7 days. So when I went back, I was totally very silent. I was silent, no, then nobody liked it. And then for 20 days or 25 days, I had hell balancing my family. And trying to keep quiet, keeping Bhagavan's thoughts and love for Bhagavan in my mind. It was very difficult. And then I think everybody, my in-laws and all, were telling, "No, no, next time don't go. If you go, you'll become like this. It's not good for you and all." That time the first miracle happened. I said, "Bhagavan, I don't know what you will do. I love you so much. And people, I don't know what is this, whether they are right, I am right. I don't know any of these things. You just help me. I don't know what to do." Next day morning, my husband wakes up and says, "Whatever happens, whoever says anything, I am there with you. If you go alone, there is a problem. I will come with you every time you go. I will take you. because so many years you did everything for me, now I'll do for you. I'll take you, Lakshmi, don't worry of what the world has to say. That's the first miracle Bhagavan really showed, because I literally cried to him. Whole night I was crying. You won't believe, my pillow was wet. I cried so much. I said, how am I supposed to come to you when this is a situation? And then morning when I wake up, the first thing my husband told me was this. If not for Bhagavan, how could he say that? And how could he know this is what my prayer was? Nobody knows it. It was just, I was crying to Bhagavan. And the first thing I heard from my husband in the morning, that is 8 o'clock like that. I was cooking everything, sending my children to school. I was doing all the work. When I came to wake up my husband at 8 o'clock, he woke up, and then this is the first thing he told me. Then I thought, Bhagavan, you are there. And then I kept on coming. He kept on bringing me. Whenever I said I want to go to Tiruvannamalai, my husband was there for me. He supported me. And he said, come, I'll take you. Don't cry. I'll take you.
There was a time when all your in-laws also trooped in to see Bhagavan.
No, that was after 10 or 15 visits, Swamiji. They were all curious. Why is she running all the time? And then everybody came, Swamiji. My mother's side, my father's side, my mother-in-law's
sister.
Side, father-in-law's side. Everybody wanted to know what it is.
After that visit, they are also repeating.
They are also telling how to look. You know, I'll just tell, this is how I did. They do, and all of them, even yesterday when my brothers were there, they are telling it works, this method works. Because
my
you can ask so many people, all of them.
Several in-laws trooped in one day, some six or seven of them. She brought them. She says, they are all asking me, what am I doing here every time coming here for 4 or 5 days?
You see, you, Chandra, you did not, you came in after she was explaining the detail of this inquiry. She's not saying to herself or trying to inquire with him, who am I? She's asking Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship of the beloved and the lover.
Mm-hmm. The quest is not to the space or to the totality. Mm-hmm. She's putting all the questions to the Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. Tell me, who am I? Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about it. So she asked specifically Bhagavan for this answer. Mm-hmm. And whatever the answer was brought or not, she is not aware of the answer. It brought the result. She was 100% happy. She was absolutely peaceful. And she had a lot of problems one after another coming. Soon after she took up to Bhagavan, earlier there were no problems. Problems began to troop in. And all the problems got solved with themselves. So her utter faith and everything was to Bhagavan. She never did any sadhana apart from Bhagavan. And it was that which was giving her all the... She was able to reap the harvest bountifully.
It's the perfect assimilation and unity of jnana and bhakti. You're doing the inquiry of the jnani with the heart of a bhakti. And so there's no difference. This is how a Bhagavan has said so many times. In fact, you even said, the jnani is the greatest bhakti. The one who knows God is the greatest lover of God. The one who's seeking God becomes the greatest lover of God. Is that not so?
I don't know all these things, but I only know I love him very much. And he's helping me.
See, she doesn't analyze. See, ours is a rational mind trying to rationalize every act of ours. She accepted him totally. There is no analysis, there is no logic, there is no reasoning.
She is not going to put any further question. She left it to Bhagavan. So the questions, you know, stop there. And for him to... For him to react to him, means I'm saying to the Bhagavan,
yes.
Her portion of the work is over.
Same.
So,
our Bhagavan told two methods. People were not able to do this, who am I inquiry. He said, surrender yourself totally to him. So, Bhagavan was the epitome of the entire totality, the so-called God. So, she completely surrendered herself to him. It is the second method she followed.
Yes, but Bhagavan's exact words, because I know the place and talks, and she experiences from what she said.
Yes.
Bhagavan said there are two methods, inquire who am I, or surrender, and
surrender.
I will strike down the mind.
And even partial surrender would do, then he added.
So the striking down of the mind, after she surrendered, the difficulties, the surgeries, the financial problems, but it didn't matter, because the umbrella of Bhagavan's love shock you from everything.
One thing, Swamiji, in the case of many of the devotees, you know, rule of three doesn't apply. It takes in very mysterious terms and mysterious ways. This is exactly the Bhagavan said. You know, it dissolves there itself. There is nothing like this exactly to say. It happens in so many mysterious
things. After hearing all this in the past 3 days, Swamiji, you have pushed me back to my square one. I feel I'm nowhere. When I hear all these...
No, Swamiji, feelings. That's not so. But what is happening is...
Swamiji,
I feel I'm nowhere.
No.
When I hear all these people, hearing all these 3 days, he's asking other people to speak.
No, I will correct. You are everywhere.
I'm ashamed to show my face here.
I will correct, Swamiji. You are everywhere.
No, but
see, Swamiji, I think I must have told you also. There was a party by name Sampurnamma. She came during the days of Bhagavan.
She died, I think, while I was in this ashram.
Yes, she died on the Bhagavan's Aradhana day. What is that time called? They performed the special pujas for Shiva.
Rudri.
No, Swamiji, that time, even in the ashram they do it. All said and done, I was watching this lady ever since I came. Most part of it, I found chit-chatting, very orthodox lady. Particularly if she sees the foreigner, she will run another 10 feet, though she may be older. So she was very, very orthodox. And used to talk very freely with her. So, one day I asked her, what is that? Because, you know, I was doing a little bit of meditation, so the thought came to my mind, what is that lady doing, not doing at all? Perhaps, you know, I'm just saying, because being with Bhagavan for such a long time, never seen her sitting for the meditation, never doing this. One day I asked. She was knowing a bit of Kannada. She had a small room by the side of the well in Amavi guest house. She called me inside her. I went and sat. It's a very old book. It was a Tamil book. I asked her, what is this? I don't know what is this book. This is Ribhu Gita, given by Bhagavan. And then I found, you know, a lot of underlines. I asked, what is this? These are all underlined by Bhagavan. Bhagavan gave this book and said, every day, once in the morning, once in the evening, you do the Parayana. This is your sadhana. So, what we talk about, this, that, etc., dissolves totally. You know, Krishna Bhikshu's brother Ramchandraya, who was staying, his wife was Munigal Venkatramaya's daughter.
Kamakshi,
yes. So when she was a small girl, Bhagavan asked her to bring a paper and a pencil, which she brought. Bhagavan wrote, Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Ramanaya, and asked her to repeat 3 times. She did repeat 3 times and said, this is your sadhana. So the God's ways, particularly as Lakshmi or whatever it may be, so many people, if you ask us this and that, no, their only thing was what Bhagavan has asked. Sampurna Mahapati said after, you know, my saying, Should I do what you said or Bhagavan said that?
You know, that Ramachandriya, he He used to come here to my room when I was in this A2.
Yes.
He was with Bhagavan. And you know what he told me? Swamiji, do you know how I came to Bhagavan? I came to see a girl named Kamashi, who was at Tiruvannamalai. Instead, I saw Bhagavan instead. I didn't see the girl. This is the way he narrated it.
A very lovely person. Very lovely.
Very lovely. He was an esteemed scholar in history.
Yes.
He had written books and all that, some residuals.
He is an authority.
But completely, he never moved away from the thoughts of God. During his last days, Sandhya, the adopted daughter of Dwaraganatha Reddy, used to serve him. She used to be there. He was thinking of Arunachala. He was thinking of Bhagavan and nothing else. There was never a minute when he used to talk about anything else.
I think, Swamiji, you may be knowing an incident connected with Bhagavan's devotee's daughter. They were staying in a two-story or three-story building in Kanpur. And the water was a very big problem. She never chanted intentionally the water should come by chanting the name of Bhagavan. She chanted and the water started coming. And
she chanted a hymn which was written by Manavasi Ramaswamy.
Sharanagati Sangha.
It is known as Sharanagati song. And Manavasi Ramaswamy was never a poet at all. But in presence of Bhagavan, his talent in poems bloomed and he wrote poem after poem which are even today being sung in the presence of Bhagavan.
Particularly the Sharanagati song.
You see, the point is, when the Sharanagati song, she didn't know. So when she saw, she had kept all the taps open. When she saw the water coming, she stopped the song. When she went, she found the water had stopped. So immediately, again when she began the Saranagati song, it went on. So thus singing, she filled up all the things because of days. She was in grave trouble. So much of clothes which have accumulated, dirty clothes which had to be washed, and vessels to be washed. She was in despair. And that is the time. And in the evening, when her husband, her in-laws, some people came, brother-in-law, all these people came and she told, they won't believe it. She said, come on, you do that. When she went there and she began to sing, water began to flow. They wrote a letter to Bhagavan. This is what happened. And Bhagavan, in a very innocent way, he told people, look here, what is the glory of Manavasi Ramaswamy's song? Because he had written, it seems, even water began to come when his songs were being sung. And you know, I mentioned that it was his mahima. The entire poem was
too
surrendered to Bhagavan.
So Bhagavan tried to shift the blame. Unsuccessfully. How wonderful.
See, either with the sadhana or with the people's problem, whatever, so many mysterious things have happened. So the rule of three doesn't apply at all. It happens of its own.
Is there more?
No.
Oh, then we'll end.
No, search your mind and find out whether any other thing Swamiji can record for the benefit of devotees.
you can imagine there are people in countries, they'll never come to India. They have not the financial means, the situations in their life, but somehow they've heard the name Ramana Maharshi, and somehow they've heard Arunachala, Bhagavan, and they know nothing, and then maybe they get a hold of a book, and some of the books are just so difficult to understand. But these life experiences, which they can relate to because they also happen to them, but the solution and the fact that how God comes into your life amidst the suffering, amidst the anger and grief, and transforms everything into a sweetness where life can become beautiful.
Yeah, basically that's what is happening to me, because there are not much confusions, I don't have much questions, and then I'm calm all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of samsara, whatever happens. See, it's today 15 days since I left my children. There is no big worry, what will happen, what will they eat, how will they live. Not because every time I had, see, as a mother I had great attachment. I feed them even today. I feed them in the mouth, everybody will shout. So I said, okay, let me leave them. I have to, see, it's a big thing as a mother to leave them and think, okay, let them eat on their own, let them do whatever they want. Leaving is the biggest hurdle or biggest task for anybody to do. But that leaving, when I tell Bhagavan, I'm attached to them, help me, I don't want to be so attached. Every time I feed them, every time I have this attachment, every time I have this worry, they're going on the bike, there is great worry, there is fear inside. I'll say, Bhagavan, it is not required. You are there, so why should I? When you are there, why should I worry? Help me, help me, help me. Now it's so simple. They say they want to go, let them go. See, even when the boys are aging, when they're coming of age, when they're becoming 21, 20, when the boys are like that, they want to go somewhere, they want to smoke. That is a fear as a mother. I'm scared, Bhagavan, they might smoke, they're going to that company. I'm scared. Then immediately I'll say, no, Bhagavan, this is me. But I don't want me to think now. I'm leaving it on you. Whether they want to smoke, let them smoke. Whether they want to drink, do anything. I don't want to face it anymore. You help me. For that, everything. Now I don't have a fear that he might get spoiled, that he might fall down, he might break his leg. Absolutely nothing. I only know that they are protected. I only know he is taking care of them. If they have to fall, they will fall. But in spite of that, I know he is there. So that confidence is so high that like this everything is withdrawing. Everything, every fear, every attachment, every anger. I told you it was very difficult for me to conquer hatred for two people. I conquered it. Because I was all the time leaving the burden on him. I said, I don't want hatred for them. I'm looking at them. I don't want hatred. Now whatever they say, I don't have hatred. I don't have ill will. I used to think, you are telling me like this, you will face it one day. But my Guruji said, no, that's not evolution. How could you think like that? What is the difference between Bhagavan's devotee and ordinary Lakshmi? If you think like that, it's not right. I said, Bhagavan, this is what Guruji told. It seems it's not good. So please help me. I don't want these thoughts to come to me. They're coming to me. Help me. The moment I ask him, help me, it goes up. And now I don't have any hatred. I don't have any ill will. These kind of things I have seen great benefits because I am at peace all the time. When I ask him, help me, I don't want this. See, I see something, I want that. So I said, now I go to a shop, 100 things you keep in front of me. There's no great attraction. I don't feel that urge to go and buy in bundles. All these kind of things which are very natural sense pleasures, which are very natural. So I just do, if I have to go buy a sari, which is very important, there is an occasion to, I just go buy it. But there is no great happiness. Oh, I have this sari, it's so beautiful. I have this jewel, it's so exciting. There's no great happiness. It's just that I had to buy it, I buy it.
So is it true, and I think many can gain an understanding from this, that the anxiety, the stress, the worry, the sorrow, the horror and terror, even that attachment brings, the way to get above it is just switch the attachment to God.
Yeah, that's true. That is what happened to me.
Don't try to renounce the attachment. Just become attached to God.
And there are two things there. One is to get rid of your attachment, pray to the Lord Himself. You see, the exact parallel of the scriptures. In Srimad Bhagavata, Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, prays to Lord Krishna. Lord, just as she was telling, Kunti says, I am very much attached to two sides. One is the side of my father, to my mother, to my father, to my brothers, to everybody coming in the lineage of my father. And again, I am also attached to my sons. Sneha pacha mimam chindhi dridham pandushu krishnushu. It is not an ordinary attachment. It has had deep roots. I am extremely concerned, I am extremely attached, the same way she says, to all of them, to the Pandavas, my sons, and their wives, their children, And also to my father's side, they are called the Vrishnikula. And it is the same thing. When in any distress approach the Lord, approach Bhagavan, everything will be taken care of. Pray, things will be taken care of. Because to get attachment to somebody whom we have never seen, it is not so easy unless he wills it. So even further you pray, everything comes through the prayer. Somehow I feel that there is a greater lesson which I learned from her talks.
Shows the truth even in the West. One of the names of God is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And it was 2 or 3 days ago you were speaking outside saying and quoting the scriptures where they said there are 5 forms of relationship that give absolute authenticity to the presence of God. There is objective, indirect, direct, and all of these things. But then finally you said, listen, forget that. There's just 2 things we should understand about God. He is and He helps. And He helps quicker if we ask for the help.
Yeah, and that too. See, one more thing I learned in this also. Whenever I asked him, Bhagavan, do this, do that, no? He'll do it in much better way. I'll tell him, give me 1 rupee, he'll give me 2 rupees.
Yeah.
So then my Guruji said, why are you asking, why are you restricting him? It's like beggar going to a king and asking me, give me 3 meals. So why are you restricting? Why? This is not having proper knowledge about God. So when Bhagavan can give you everything, why are you asking him, give me this, give me this? So that is when I thought, I will not ask Bhagavan, give me this, give me that. Whatever you want to do, you do. I am open. I don't know, because I don't want to restrict myself by telling, give me this, give me that. Like that, every time when I asked Bhagavan for something, my Guruji gave me an understanding. No, no, it is very limited. Don't ask like that. Don't restrict him or don't restrict yourself. Expand yourself more. Just believe in him and leave it on him. So now whatever it is, see, suppose somebody, something happens and I tell Bhagavan, I want this to happen. Now my mind doesn't say, I want this Bhagavan, I want that Bhagavan. I'll just say, Bhagavan, this is happening, I leave it on you.
Yes.
I trust you. Do whatever you want. I accept it the way it is.
Yes.
Because I feel, who am I to tell him, give me this or give me that, or I don't know what is in store for me. I really don't know what is in store for me. So I totally trust him and I just say, okay Bhagavan, your wish. I told you, if he has to meet with an accident, he has to meet. But it is not like, Guruji told me, it's like falling with a helmet.
Yes.
See, Guruji told me, you fall with a helmet. The burden is on the helmet, the blow is on the helmet. It's only, the head will only have an impact of that.
Yes.
That is how Bhagavan is. That is what my Guruji told me. Then I said, yes, Bhagavan, you are taking the blows, only we are feeling the impact of it. But the real blow is faced by Bhagavan. He proved it in so many occasions, and that's how I kept being better and better, knowing him better. Oh, this is what he can do. And I am still in a lowly level asking him for this kind of thing. I don't want to restrict.
Yes.
I want to put... So now my surrender is total. It increased, that understanding increased by inquiry. The main reason for my understanding, Guruji used to give me the understanding and I used to inquire with this understanding. In the light of my Guru's understanding, when he gave me this understanding, in that light I used to think, I used to inquire. He said, inquire, ponder. Because Bhagavan, what did he tell you? He told you, inquire, inquire, inquire for everything. Because self-inquiry is when you really want to go to the self, that is another big task. But to go to that, first you have to calm down. Your mind has to calm down. It has to become peaceful to do that self-inquiry.
Yes, yes.
So without calming down, without when you're still running into the world, when you're still having attachments, when you're having so many things in your mind, how can you tap him? It's impossible. So bring down your, calm down your mind first. And now really there is so much of peace. See, Ram, really, Guruji, as Guruji said, when I really want to meditate, I don't know what is the meaning of meditation. Guruji says, thoughtless, come to a thoughtless state, come to a thoughtless state. But really, I really don't have much thoughts when I'm not doing anything or I'm just doing. So many times, like one simple example, I was cooking, I put salt. Without my knowledge, thinking I didn't put salt, my servant maid put salt. Thinking servant maid didn't put salt, my mother-in-law put salt. And there was a big party. People were coming home that day. I said, what is this? Three of us put salt. Not one, two, three of us put salt. I was wondering, what is this? I said, Bhagavan, I don't know what to do. Three people put salt and there are 20 people coming home for lunch. When everybody ate, they didn't feel that salt was there at all. I just told him, I don't know what to do, Bhagavan. It looks very, I mean, if I tell somebody, you know, they'll think everything she exaggerates or things like that. But it really happened.
These things happen.
It happened. So there is no explanation for such things.
See, in Bhagavan's days,
there is no explanation. I can't explain these things.
Every
devotee,
beyond your own,
whenever their son got a little fever, whenever their son got a little headache, whenever their son sees, immediately they will write a letter. Hey Bhagavan, my son is getting sneezing. I don't know, it might develop into a fever. You have to. The moment they posted it, there is a time, it has not reached Bhagavan yet. The moment they put it, within a few minutes they were cured. So many cases that happened. Am I not right? So many cases that happened. Jaisal wrote the letter. The letter had reached him 3 days later. And then the Sarvadhikari wrote, Bhagavan saw your letter, he says he will become okay. Had already become okay.
Yes. Well, Swamiji, is this an evidence of where Bhagavan actually said that faith is the cause of self-realization?
Exactly.
Faith in Bhagavan.
See, surrender implies 100% unconditional faith. Without that, you will not surrender. And a faith in somebody means your ego bows down to somebody else's. The Lord's is the best. When your ego bends down completely to the Lord, the faith comes. When the faith comes, the surrender comes.
Well, let me just recount something that Balaram already said, which I'm thinking of these words as you're speaking, and it's just the absolute complete presence of God, whether it be Bhagavan or whatever deity. Balaram already said this. He was once asked, as you said, I'm getting to know Bhagavan. Someone asked him, if you know Bhagavan, can you tell us what he was, what he was like? This is actually on a video that is even sold here in the bookstall. He looked up in the corner of the room and he was immediately back with Bhagavan. And so the first thing you could see in his face, he started to cry. Just the recollection of Bhagavan. And then with difficulty, he was able to say this. He said, Bhagavan instructed us like a father. Bhagavan nurtured us like a mother. Bhagavan showed us that death was a myth, just a fairy tale. And so, when you say you have no fears and everything will be all right, that even so, ultimately I feel, is it not so that even the blow of death of the body will take the impact on the helmet and not on our hearts, and we won't fear death because of the presence of Bhagavan in our life and the prayers of come and stay. Is that so?
Yes. It will come initially, it will come, but the moment you think of Bhagavan, it will go away. And now, though it comes, you know, so many times, there is fear, definitely there is a threat, there is a fear, and everything we do, there is something that happens. It's not every day it's so smooth or it's sailing without any turbulences, it's not like that.
Yes.
It comes, reaction comes, then we'll feel, and then, but it goes away very quickly. Because that is the practice. It'll reduce slowly.
So when you say one of the virtues that maybe Bhagavan has caused to grow in you is tremendous patience?
Yes, definitely my patience has increased.
And patient endurance, to endure all for the sake of love for him.
Yeah, and then even when people want to tell me something, I've seen so many times they can't tell.
I would say.
They can't tell.
the word
somebody
patience,
wants to come and shout at me, no? I'll just think Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Bhagavan. They can't.
See, the word patience and endurance means that the sufferings lasted. Here is a case, she said, quickly went off. So I don't think we can call it as patience even. She never had time to think of patience, it had already gone.
Yeah, definitely, as you said rightly, no, Swamiji.
She said so, patience, you know, patience is, I understood from the talk she developed was, the patience for the sustenance. Earlier, you know, reaction and this and that, so that calmed down into your patience. Yes, she can, you know, doesn't think much about those things. And it, you know, it's automatically sometimes happen, or just she leaves it, or whatever it may be. That sort of a state where the dancing of the mind, that intensity will come down.
Definitely it will come down, and whenever something happens also, no, there won't be much reaction nowadays. Somebody is telling, okay, fine.
Yes,
I just think, okay, if I have to change a little, it's better I change so that I don't come to the situation again.
Yes.
But it's like, no, it's calmed down a lot. Not much thoughts, not much anxiety, not much worldliness is reducing. It's just, I don't know what you call withdrawing, or I don't know all these words. It's just calm, that's all.
But you know, we have spoken before, the fact that Bhagavan really has brought nothing new. In fact, he accentuated the scriptures. He was the embodiment of the Upanishads. So you're talking about the fact that your worldliness and the attraction is diminished, and your life, your mind is without much thought. But if we read, for instance, the Canon of Upanishad, where Bhriga said, in the end, joy is Brahman. So is it so that Bhagavan has really brought joy into your life?
Anandam Anandam Brahmeti Vajadiyat. Know that Ananda, the bliss, is the Brahman. It is the Lord. It is the totality.
So how does Bhagavan, is he doing that?
He is doing that. That means I am happy.
Yes.
Whether it is joy, whatever name you give it, I am happy.
So
when there, in spite of reactions, I am very happy. All the time I am happy, because I told you that joy or happiness, whatever you call it, that is Bhagavan for me. The moment I am out of that, that means I have left Bhagavan for my worldly pursuits. The moment my worldly pursuits are over, then again I am at that state where I am feeling him. That is the Bhagavan for me. He is not photo frame, he is not sofa, he is not anything. That happiness which is there, see now when I am talking about him, this tremendous, it's electrifying, it's not ordinary.
Yes.
It's electrifying for me. I don't know how it is for others.
No,
but for me, the surrounding, the atmosphere, everything is electrifying. It's just overflowing. So that is Bhagavan for me. That what I feel inside right now, that is Bhagavan. See, but when I'm not talking about him, it's not so electrifying. This is the first time actually I have opened up. I have never said this except to my Guruji. I have not spoken about this to anybody in my life till today. This is the first time, I don't know, maybe he's making me speak.
No doubt, he sure is. So, Swamiji, would you care to say a closing word before we end this?
Well, what is that to say? Everything has been said. When something has been said about Bhagavan, everything has been said. That's all. So we are all very thankful to Mrs. Lakshmi for having shared her experiences unconditionally and in a frank manner with us all, and I'm sure many of those who are going to hear these records in the website, they'll be equally elated and thankful to Mrs. Lakshmi. May Bhagavan.